For most of you, he doesn't need an introduction. But senior pastor of the church from 1981 to 1989, Pastor Reverend David West.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Wow, nice to see you. I think I'm overdressed. I see everybody, nobody's with a tie. Anybody here with a tie, stand up and make me feel good. One tie, two ties. I think I'm going the other way. I'm not real good with them anymore. I wore them all my life and jackets and everything else. And you know, I was thinking about the kid that always got in trouble when his mom took him grocery shopping. It was back in years ago when they would sell molasses in the big barrel. Now, a lot of you aren't old enough to remember that, but I can just barely remember that. And every time he'd go in there, he'd swipe his finger down through that molasses barrel and lick it clean. And of course, he'd get in trouble with the manager. And the one time the manager about caught him and yelled at him, he's running out the door. He said, "I'm telling you, young man, you'll never forget it. I'll catch you in here again like that." Well, he went to the grocery store with his mom and he couldn't resist it. He just had a passion and a love for molasses out of that barrel. So when he didn't think anybody was looking, he snuck over and he lifted the lid on the molasses barrel and he swiped his finger down through. He's just getting ready to lick that finger clean. And all of a sudden, he felt two hands on his shoulder. And boy, he was airborne. And it was a manager who lifted him up. And wouldn't you know it, sat him right down in the center of that molasses barrel. And he was heard going under. "Lord, give me a tongue to equal this opportunity." And I guess that's a little bit how I feel this morning. Give me a tongue, Lord, to equal this opportunity. My goodness, what a wonderful privilege this is. And the privilege, the honor is indeed mine to celebrate just a little bit of your 75th anniversary. I mean, happy anniversary, Mifflinburg, Church of the Nazarene, 75 years. And I got in on some of that to meet some of those people who were there in the foundational years, you know, like Reverend Fred Pick, and what a wonderful opportunity it was to be with him and to celebrate with him, and of course, he was a great asset to me. But to see so many familiar faces, now you got to help me this morning, because I don't remember all your names, but I have got lucky, and I've remembered a few along the way, but you've got to help me out, so don't let me stand there and just think and try to run my tapes up here. Tell me your name, that'll help. To see kids that have grown up. Some of you have come up to me. You've said you dedicated to me. You dedicated me. You baptized me when I was a kid. And it's just unreal to see all that transpiring. You're here in the church. You're serving the Lord. I turned 30 2 months after I arrived here. And that's almost pretty close to 40 years ago. And that's when I first arrived now. And I think I've been gone pretty close to 30, something like that. And Jeannie and I have some wonderful memories here. We talked about them coming into town this morning, and we chatted about them with our kids and with all the people of the church, and God blessed us as we worked together, and that was a real privilege and a real honor. Jeannie and I are working on our 50th year of living together. We've married, but we're living together. We've never talked divorce. She has mentioned murder a couple times. She brought that up. I was a little bit concerned, but we now have 14 grandchildren and 6 great-grandchildren. And some of you may recall Sabrina. She was our middle child. She was our rebel kid. And Sabrina passed away 2 years ago, September 18. And, of course, our lives have been different. There's no question about it that it's influenced our life and affected us and all of our family in a very powerful way. I have a little tie pin this morning. It's Mickey Mouse tie pin. And you know, when I was here, you sent us to General Assembly in, Anaheim, California. And she got this for me back then. And it broke, and after she passed away, I found it. So I had it put together and by a jeweler, and so now I wear it in honor and in memory of her. But you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what life brings to us. We still serve the same God. We still love the same Lord. He still loves us. And we just are thankful every day that we can trust him, even in the times when the shadows the briar patches, the way of life get pretty tough, pretty rough. I want to welcome my sister today, too. Carol West is here along with, I think it's Marcia, and she's driven up. She just had some surgery on the shoulder, and she came up to join us this morning. It's always nice to have her around. I didn't feel that way when I was younger, but it is now that I'm older. Tonight, by the way, I'm going to talk to you about a book that I've written. I felt in my retirement years that I should write, so I've done that. At least my family will know what I believe. And I've written a book titled No Ordinary Prayer, and it's back there. You're welcome to take it this morning. I'm trying to get $10 a piece for them. If you don't have 10 bucks, take it. I want to get it out. It's a personal revelation that I had regarding the Lord's Prayer. After about 40-some years, I finally began to recognize some things that I'd never seen in it, although I'd repeated it how many times. And so I get to share it a little bit in that book, and I'd like you to have a copy of that tonight. I'll talk to you a little bit about it as well. While you're turning to Galatians 5, and do we have it up here? I didn't know if you would have it this morning. But Galatians chapter 5, turn with me there, please. And while you're doing that, I just want to have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you today for the privilege to be here to present your word to these folks. I'm humbled. I'm honored. I know that I cannot do it in my own strength and power, and it's only as you hide away this pastor in your presence that the church can hear what the Spirit says. So hide us away, and whether we laugh or whether we cry, no matter what we do in this message, Lord, may the church hear today what the Spirit has to say to it. We'll be careful to praise you and give you all of the glory. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, amen. You know, I was reading about an educated, or rather an uneducated father and his educated son. And they went on a camping trip, and they set up a tent, and they went to sleep. Well, some hours later, the father woke up his son abruptly and smacked him in the hip, said, son, look up in the sky. What do you see? And the son, you know, trying to wake up immediately, he said, I see millions of stars, Dad. And the father said, what does that tell you? And the educated son said, well, astronomically, it tells me there's millions of galaxies out there and lots of planets out there. And the father hit him in the hip again and said, no, you idiot. Somebody took our tent. That's what it means. Sometimes too much education can spoil common sense. For some reason, God has chosen to put his Holy Spirit inside of us to do the work of his eternal kingdom. It just defies common sense. It just really does. That he was put his Spirit in us to build the church, to spread love, his love, not just any love, his love, and to spread all that he is, Christianity, through us to the world around. We are literally extensions of the body of Christ. You know, he is the incarnation, deity in humanity, and we are his body. He told us that in his word. And so we are literally extensions of his body to reach with his love to the world that's around us, and sometimes it just defies common sense. But God has chosen to partner with us. Think about that. You are a partner with God today. If you're a Christian, you are a partner with God today. He's chosen to partner with us, even though we are inconsistent. That's a good place to say amen. Even though we are weak, even though we are human, and sometimes we are so very, very faulty. 1 Corinthians 4:7 reminds us, but we have this treasure. What treasure? The treasure of God's beautiful Spirit and presence in earthen vessels, that's us, in order that we might see the excellency and the power of God at work, and not just us. My dear old mom used to tell us time and time again that phrase, earthen vessels, we have this treasure, the power of God's Spirit, the presence of the Spirit in earthen vessels. In the Greek, it means cracked pots. I'll just let that go for a while. My mom would say, at best, we're just all a bunch of crackpots. And that's true. But God still chooses to partner with us. A question every born-again believer should be asking themselves on a 75th anniversary of a church, but almost every day, folks, we ought to be saying, what can I do for the Spirit of God? Oh, that's the reverse. of what we normally pray. What can God do for me? Lord, bless me. Oh, aren't we into that? I need your help, Lord. And you know, I'm glad that we can go to God in times of need and all those kinds of things, but how many of us have literally prayed in the beginning of the day, what can I do to partner with you today, Holy Spirit? How can I partner with the Spirit to aid and support the eternal kingdom of God? If I'm going to say anything this morning, that's the heart of what I have to give to you. The best answer I can give you is to keep step with him. How do I partner with him? Keep step with him. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25 in the NIV, it says this: since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You see, one of the best ways to picture the Spirit-filled life, the Christian life, is to see it as a walk with God, step at a time. Old Testament characters were often spoken of as walking with God. Adam walked with God in the cool of the day, Genesis 3 and 8. Abraham walked with God, Genesis 48, 15. Enoch walked with God, Genesis 5, 22 through 24, and never died. He walked so close to God, God took him to heaven, and he became an Old Testament prototype to the rapture that we anticipate. Amos the prophet, when speaking of a godly life, said, can two walk together except they be agreed? And John in the New Testament says, walk even as Jesus walks. As a matter of fact, in another place, he says, walk in the light. And even Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross and do what? Go hard after me, in the Greek. It's a sense of walking with him. Now, all these things being equal, walking comes naturally to most of us. Many of you have raised a child, starting out as a baby and stand up. First of all, they learn how to roll over, and then they learn how to stand up and hold on to the coffee table. And then you tell them, take a step, and they begin to do all that. And pretty soon, you know, we've got a child that walks. That's natural. What isn't natural is walking with someone. That's not natural. I've tried at times to walk with my two youngest grandkids. Amber had her kids later in life, and so we have our youngest, all the rest of them are out of college, but we have one that's going to be 8 here in November, and the other one just turned 5 in June, and they are a bundle, my goodness. And the older I get, the more bundled they become. Christopher and Jeremiah, and I've tried to walk with them, and I want to tell you something, it's a challenge to get them to walk with me. I'm not fast enough sometimes. I'm not quick enough sometimes. Sometimes I'm just way behind them, and they're hanging on and they're pulling in 6 ways to 1. You know what I mean? You've been there. You've walked with kids, and you understand that. You have to learn how to walk with people. I remember an occasion when my son, he was about 3 years old, and it was before we came to Mifflinburg. We were out in Mercer. And we were walking down a town street, and he broke loose of my grasp. And when he broke loose of my grasp, he headed straight between 2 parked cars for the street. Now, I don't remember the setting where it was a car coming. I don't want to dramatize it any more than it was. I just know it was dangerous. But he didn't know that. He had no idea it was dangerous. He didn't know that he shouldn't bolt for the street and go between the cars. He didn't know it could hurt him or even kill him. He had no idea. But boy, I'll tell you, I knew I had lost my walking relationship with my son. And I remember shouting in a loud, stern voice, Dave! And I remember clearly that they stopped on a dime, and I ran to retrieve him quickly. I imagine some of you have had similar experiences. Learning how to walk in relationship. I went past a lady in downtown Butler the other day. She had her wild child on a leash. That was interesting, you know? Never mind, I was going to say something smart, but I won't. Children don't have to learn how to run ahead of you or drag you behind you or climb all over you. They know how to do it by nature, but they have to learn how to walk in relationship with you. They have to be taught how to keep step with you. Now, putting all this in perspective, when we make a choice to accept the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness he provided on the cross that we sang about and your youth pastor mentioned this morning, through his shed blood, we become a child of God. Isn't that exciting? Oh my goodness, think about how exciting that is. Oh, you didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. You didn't pay enough, you know, to get it. It's through his love and his grace. And when we receive him, we become a child of God. John 1 tells us in verses 12 through 14. Yeah, let me get my tongue going in the right direction. It says, to as many as received him, to them gave he authority to be the children of God. Paul tells us in Romans 8, 15 and 17, he says that when we receive Christ, we have the right to look at God and say, Abba, which in the Latin is Papa or Father in the Greek. Think about it. You didn't earn this right. You've never deserved it. Nobody's ever deserved it. But through the love of God, through Christ, he redeems us. We become his child. And at that moment, folks, I'll tell you, God becomes more than head knowledge for us. He becomes heart knowledge. At that moment, church and Christmas and Easter and the Bible and attending worship and prayer becomes more than just a religion. It becomes a relationship. I'm the kid. He's the Father. He's now our Heavenly Father. And I'm given authority to be his child. Adopted. Think about that. And one of the first tasks that I have as a Christian, believe it or not, is to learn how to walk in relationship with our Heavenly Father. What am I going to do with that task? Am I going to be like Adam and Eve and run off and eat the apple anyway when I think he's not looking? A lot of people do that. When they don't think God's looking or God's noticing, they'll do their own thing. Am I going to worship God in my way and not follow his instructions like Cain did? You know, who literally destroyed his brother based on a controversy over worship. Tens of professing people are living this way. Do worship God their own way. Forget about what the Bible says. Who cares? Or am I going to get on board with Joshua, who declared, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The word serve means to literally submit to him. Am I going to walk with him? Am I going to be committed to that? Now, Paul admonishes us in Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit. Did you get that? Since we live by the Spirit. Hear that again. Since we've accepted Christ, since he's come into our hearts, since he's given us life. I mean, we were dead in sin without him. It's only because he comes in and cooperates with our spirit that we become the children of God. Since we live by the Spirit and he's the only way we have life, he says, then let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is how you and I walk with God. We listen. We follow the Spirit of God. His urgings, his directions, his gentle nudges. We listen. Well, Mr. Pastor Dave West, just how do you propose I do that? Well, Mr. and Mrs. Parishioner, it's not rocket science. It's right there in front of you this morning. Do you have it open? Galatians chapter 5. The reference is there. We keep in step with the Spirit by allowing him to produce his marvelous fruit through us. How different our lives would be. Look at the fruit of the Spirit that's mentioned in verse 22. How different our lives would be if we would let him love through us. His love through us. Can you imagine the change that would make in the world? If we would literally let his love, what if we could express his joy and we allow him to express his joy through us and his patience in us? What a difference it would make. I want you to read this with me. Do you have it? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Follow with me. You can read with me. But the fruit of the Spirit, now notice this is the fruit of the Spirit. This isn't what you work up on a good day. This isn't what you just work up because today I'm feeling better than yesterday. Now, this is not your fruit. This is not your doing. This is literally the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And notice it's written in the singular. The fruit of the Spirit is. There's 9 parts of it. Somebody didn't get their English class right. It should be the fruits of the Spirit are. But it isn't that way. It says the fruit of the Spirit is. Why? How can you have 9 parts and write it in the singular? It's because you can't divide them. This isn't like going to a fruit market and I'll take an orange and a banana, but I don't want an apple and a pear. If you have the Spirit of God, you have all of His fruit. There's not nine Holy Spirits, so therefore there's only one. So there's only one fruit, and that fruit is expressed in nine different ways. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now look at the next line. Against such, there is no law. There's nothing in this world that can stop you from being this way. There's no law that can hold you back from letting the Spirit of God produce His fruit in your life. There's just no law that exists. If you don't let His fruit produce through you, if you can't, it's by your own choice. You can't blame anybody else but you. Because if He lives in your heart, He wants to express His fruit. Walk with me. Step with me. Consider these portions of the fruit, will you? Let's look first of all at love. The Spirit will express God's love through me by helping me prefer and consider others as more important than myself. Did you get that? That's what agape love is. You are more important than I am. I prefer you over myself. Can you see that going in Washington? Would that change a meeting or two? The Spirit will enable a sense of joy in my heart. Now, this isn't ha, 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 and ho, ho, ho. This is a sense of joy and confidence that no matter what life brings, God is in charge. Well, that's a good way to feel, to have that confidence. No matter who's elected, are you with me? No matter what life brings, even if it's death in your family, even if it's heartache in your family, we have a Heavenly Father that's not caught off guard, and He's not surprised by anything. He knows it all. And He's in charge. What a beautiful confidence. I can rest in His hands. The Spirit will assure me in my heart that I'm at peace with God. And not just to be at peace with the lawgiver, but to express that peace to other people. You know, think about what God could do in a lot of relationships that just literally hate each other and spit at each other and defy each other and speak poorly of each other. The Spirit's fruit wants to not only give us a peace between ourselves and God, but on the horizontal planes, a peace between ourselves and others. I saw this cartoon one day where a little older lady was standing in front of her husband's grave, and in one hand she was holding a tissue, and the other hand she was holding a rolling pin. And it said on the tombstone, "May he rest in peace till we meet again." Folks, I've known people like that, and you have too. I mean, you don't know whether you're going to duck a rolling pin or whether they're going to use a tissue. You don't know. I mean, but God will not only give you peace, the Spirit will not only give you peace with God between you and Him, but between you and others. He wants to broadcast that. Spirit will teach me how to wait on others, to be patient. Boy, I need those lessons all the time. Of course, you don't. You're not impatient. I can tell you're just a patient crowd. But boy, do we ever need help with that. But the Spirit will help us. The Spirit will give me an attitude of kindness towards others. And through the attribute of goodness, you notice you have kindness and goodness there. See that? Kindness is an attitude. It's benignity. It's the air of I care. Goodness is the feet to that. Goodness is the part that says, I don't only see your need, I'm going to get busy and meet your need. I'm going to do all I can to help you. That's what the Spirit does through us. The Spirit will cultivate faithfulness in my life. I won't just say I'm a Christian. I'll live and act like I'm one. Oh, it's easy to say I belong to Jesus or I'm a member of the church. It's a whole different thing to be out there in the workforce and live like you really do love God first. But the Spirit will help you with faithfulness. The Spirit will spark gentleness in my life. Gentleness isn't wimpy. Gentleness is the combining of strength and humility. It means I can stand for what I believe, but on the other hand, I can also bow to you and say, you know what, let's listen. Let's hear what you have to say. Gentleness, humility, and strength blending. And the Spirit will remind me daily, that last part of the fruit of the Spirit, that my walk with Christ is reliant greatly on my ability to discipline myself to do the things of God. There's no graduation from the school of discipline. The Holy Spirit will remind me to reread the word, to pray, to get to church, to tithe, to share the good news. Did you know those are the five things that are the biblical standard of maintenance to the Christian life? Did you know that? Read the word, pray, tithe, get to church, and share the Christ that you have in your heart. Those are the five biblical steps of Christian victory. Yeah, Pastor, I hear you. All this is good stuff, but I can't be perfect at this. The way you're presenting today, you expect me to be perfect. Folks, at what time in this whole message, or any time I ever pastored you back in the decade of the 80s, did you ever hear me say one time, you have to be perfect at it? You never did. What I want to say is that our lack of being perfect, crackpots, remember? What I want to say is that our lack of being perfect should not be used as an excuse for not trying and for not putting forth an effort. I mean, at a minimum, we ought to be trying to let the Spirit produce his fruit through us. Uncle Bud Robinson used to say it's better to shoot at the moon and miss than shoot at a skunk and hit. At least try for the moon, folks. At least try to let the Spirit of God live through you and broadcast the great love and peace of God through you. At least try. And if you listen to the Spirit of God on a daily basis, if you read the Word, pray, and learn the heart of your Heavenly Father, no one will have to put a leash on you and walk you down the street. You'll walk with pride through town, through your work buddies, through friends, through neighbors, through family. You'll walk with pride in who your Heavenly Father is, doing your best just to keep step with Him. That's how we partner with God. We keep step. I remember vividly that day, Portage, Pennsylvania. It was my first pastorate. There was about, 8 or 10 inches of snow, I would imagine, and I was going out to the garage to get a snow shovel, and the garage was not attached to the house, and Dave was all bundled up. I don't know how old he was, 2 years old, I don't know, but he's all bundled up in one of those snow suits, you know, that shine and make a lot of noise when you walk through the woods and that kind of thing, and he had one of those on. He had a hood over him, and so I was headed for the garage. I went out the basement door, and I headed for the garage, and you know, I'm stepping pretty good through that snow. And then I thought, I better turn around and make sure Dave's doing okay. So I turned around, and there was Dave. And he was pulling his legs up. He was trying to get in my footsteps. And he was pulling his legs up and put it down, and then he'd try again, and he'd try again. And he wasn't very good at it. He missed it half the time. But I want to tell you what, he was trying. He was putting effort. If we live in the Spirit, let's keep step with Him. You go home today, don't cop out with, I can't do this. Get an attitude that says, Lord, I'm going to try. I want to walk with you. I want to partner with you. What can I do today to partner with you in the great building of your eternal kingdom? Father, I want to thank you today for a wonderful privilege to be with some good folks. I see their faces. I know some of their names. I recognize faces. It's been a wonderful experience. And I praise you for it. I thank you, Father, for your word and how it speaks to us. It has great power. And it reminds us today that it's not just good enough for us to put a little name tag on our chest and say we belong. We need to keep step with you. And I pray, Father, that in your own way, you would speak to every heart that's here, every person that's here, that you would encourage us to keep step with your Spirit each day. Thank you again for this blessed privilege in the strong name, the wonderful name of Jesus that we ask. And we pray together. Everybody said, amen. Thank you again, folks. You're good people. You're good folks.